We are hashtag driving positivity through Rorik Honda, and we urge you to tell us your positivity through this quarantine. Just fake drive and tell us your silver lining.
The other positivity is online sales are at a full go for test driving, questioning, and purchasing. Continue to follow Rorik Honda for all of your vehicle needs and visit www.rorikhonda.com.
And now for the Ajagoff podcast, and let's guess where.
Does it have something to do with the 24?
It does.
According to the Oxford Dictionary, the word Jagoff is defined as a noun, which means a stupid, irritating, or...
Here's how Pittsburghers define a word Jagoff. When someone cuts you off on a parkway.
Jagoff!
Or someone scares the out of you.
Yeah, Jagoff!
Or it's a term of endearment.
How you been, Jagoff?
This is Mark Madden.
Hi, this is Larry Richard.
This is Ken Wild Bill.
Hey, this is Kurt Angle.
Hi, this is Rocky Blair.
Hey, it's Rick Sivak.
Hi, this is Greg Brown.
Hi, I'm Tyler Kennedy.
This is Santonio Holmes.
And this is the Jagoff Podcast.
Hey, John.
Here we go. The sun is shining. We're on the end of April, the backside of the pandemic, maybe. Mm-hmm. And you are listening to the Jagoff podcast. And if you are listening to the very first time, you do know that it comes out on radio.com where you can subscribe to it, where you get it early because right. You get it on Monday if you're a subscriber.
Yep.
But it comes out on Tuesdays on Jagoff.com. But get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Just get it.
And make sure you leave a comment on iTunes. We would really appreciate it. We show those to our kids. We put them on our refrigerators.
And our parents, you know. And they're like, good for you, whatever that podcast is.
Yeah. And since we're doing stuff by phone these days because of the pandemic, mm-hmm. if you are out there, wherever you are, Alaska, Oklahoma, email us, Rachel with two A's, R-A-C-H-A-E-L, at yajagoff.com, or John at yajagoff.com, and tell us you want to be on the podcast.
Yeah, he doesn't have two A's, but you can email either of us and let us know. And speaking of emailing and maybe calling, you know, we do a question of the day every day.
Right.
Sometimes they go well and sometimes they don't. But we ask people who join us online regularly to answer the question. It might be silly. It might be fun. It might be something to do with the day. But we don't want to leave anybody out. So if you want to call in and answer, we're going to post that on where you call.
Yeah, we're going to put them into the podcast here.
Into the podcast, yeah. Right.
So this is where we typically talk about
what
if
was on the blog?
You were following the blog, and if you weren't following the blog, what did you miss? And we talked about a couple of things. We had a nice picture come in, you know, our normal hashtag Peter Parker's pick, but it was perfect because it was a car that looked like it was socially distancing.
Yes.
So it was a good excuse.
It was Corona style for sure. Right. Yes. And then obviously we talk about the other headlines that are happening during the pandemic and the Corona quarantine. And so we have to talk about, though, what we're going to do next week. I mean, these blogs are great,
right?
But it's tough during a quarantine because you don't want to just talk about the quarantine. But we kind of are with what we're doing, right?
Yeah.
We're calling it BYOP. What's it mean, John?
Build your own podcast.
Boom. Drop the mic. So basically, you've seen these quarantine houses. You get options on who you would live with and how you would celebrate or deal with your quarantine, right? Instead, we're going to give you past guests as examples, and you're going to whittle them down and figure out who is the ultimate podcast and what would it be with and where would it be? So basically, follow along because you're going to get a grouping of questions and you get to determine the answer with brackets.
So subscribe to the blog, yajagoff.com, so you can get these in your email. And vote. All right.
Now for the podcast. Another good one.
This is awesome because we have been looking for months and months and months to have WPXI. It's like WPXI month here, right? Because
yeah,
it's got
Harbaugh
on a couple weeks. And but we have been looking to get WPXI morning reporter Mike Holden on the podcast because if you follow him on Instagram and Twitter, you know he's a riot. And he takes his job seriously, but he also knows how to take life not too seriously. So he is calling in to us today, which is totally awesome. And the Whelming Waters is our band this week.
Another one we've been dying to get on. So that's absolutely perfect. And we get Sean's Ramblings, who I have not had the pleasure of meeting in person, but I can't wait to talk to him about his blogging.
And Sean's another good example. If you're out of town and you want to be a guest on the podcast, email us and tell us. All right, so let's get started here. We're going to hear a little bit of Whelming Waters and go right into talking to Sean. Blogging has gotten us, and podcasting now have gotten us to meet people we've never had a chance to, or at least interact with and never have a chance to meet. And interestingly enough, when YaJagoff.com first started, there were a few bloggers that sort of, you know, became friends. And we're like, wow, this is crazy that I know people from here or there that we've never met before. And one time this guy came into town and we had a little breakfast. And we're like, wow, we have to do that again. So because he lives in Virginia and doesn't seem to get back here into Pittsburgh, we lost him. You know, on waivers, we lost him to the Virginia area.
Oh, okay. You know? Virginia Beach is for lovers, though. I can understand.
Right. So welcome to the podcast, our friend Sean Foreman from seansrambling.com. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, John and Rachel?
We are doing well. And, you know, John reminded me that the infamous story about you that I know, right, is that you had an issue where I think you broke an arm or a wrist or something like that. And you had reached out to bloggers and said, you know, basically, hey, I'm going to be laid up. And John, as John would do, because he's a great guy, said, well, we'll take a stab at doing one of the blogs. And you said, okay, cool. And then we didn't. So apologies that that's what you know of me thus far, Sean.
No, you guys have always been great, though. So I appreciate, and you actually did. It was a little bit later. My arm was healed at that point. I was back throwing 90 miles per hour fastball.
Right.
But you go.
Did help out.
We're glad.
We totally failed you, but that's okay.
And I guess, you know, before we could even start asking you anything about blogging, what is the quarantine situation like where you are? Is it very similar to Pittsburgh?
Similar, although our governor came out a couple weeks ago, and we're basically closed until June 10th. And they're yelling already from the kids.
Nice. Hey, you'll hear Tanner, Rachel, and Willie's dog here shortly. I'm sure of it.
So we have schools have been closed. Schools are closed for the year. Basically, essential places are open, but most people are, if they're able to work from home, are doing that. Buses aren't. Few bus routes. The metro has some in the D.C. area. The metro isn't running nearly as much as they used to. So it's basically you go to supermarkets are good, but necessities only.
Yeah. So it is similar. Just maybe the time frame is a little bit different. And what has that been like as far as blogging? You know, how has that either affected or changed the manner in which you, the style for your blogging?
Well, it's interesting. It's more of, it's more the time thing. I commute to and from work in most days. So that includes, a lot of time on the bus and metro, and that's my perfect time for, you know, downtime away from everything else. I can do writing then,
okay. Over
ideas. So now, basically I wake up and it's the kids all day, and so it's not as much as I'd like, but it's more about kind of, things going on from home. I was able to write something about the O last week, one of my favorite restaurants of all time.
I saw that. I know, right?
Oh, that's my go-to place whenever I come back to home to Pittsburgh. So that was the topic. But mostly it's been more about life here and how my kids are doing.
And I do want to talk about one of the stories that I read that you shared, because as a mom of three as well, you know, the balance is tough. But, you know, I always reference, and I wasn't fortunate, I was a writer for a newspaper for a while, where John, I love his story, you know, about the fact that he wanted to figure out that whole art of blogging. And, you know, I love the fact that he says, I went as an anonymous writer because I didn't want people to say, who is this guy? You know, he had a different profession. What kind of gave you that I have got to start writing need? What's your start? What does that look like?
So really it was, I had some friends who were blogging. This was at 2004. This was back a long ways. And just seeing friends write, and I liked what they were doing, and I was like, I can do this. So I did that in January or so, 2005. I started my first blog post, and I feel like my writing is much better now than it was then, just from doing so many posts and writing all the time. But really, it's just I just want to talk about myself, talk about Pittsburgh sports, really just what's going on in my life, pop culture, entertainment, all kinds of things. And just, I figured that was a good outlet, and it's, over the years, it's kind of become therapeutic, kind of nice to sit down and put things on paper and on computer screen.
Right.
It's been therapeutic, so I've enjoyed it.
That's what I was going to ask you. You know, we don't know that much about your background, but do you get a creative outlet in your daily job, or is this that other side? This is the other side of your brain
like
gets to come out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't talk about my job at all on my blog. It's like kind of keep those lives separate.
Yep.
It's I do a lot of writing for my job. That's much more technical writing.
Oh, okay.
And emails to and from. Okay. So this is much more, this is a creative outlet and much way to, I like to express myself a little more. I mean, I still keep some things close to the vest, but, it's fun to share stories. I think, I don't know if my kids are going to enjoy this when they grow up and realize I have a blog and what I'm talking about, but I think it's kind of fun seeing some of the stories that they have.
Yeah.
Sharing those and just things about my life, which has been,
and that's what I love about it. It's just genuine blogging,
it's
you
raw.
Know. But I love
you're
the
right.
Fact
it's
that
a release.
You, it's a log that your kids can go back and read, even you know, long, hopefully a lot of years from now when you're gone. It's really cool. I love that. So Sean's, by the way, it is Sean Foreman from seansramblings.com. Sean's Ramblings. It's actually not seansramblings.com. There's an extra in there, right?
It's not. I probably should. By the website, I'm sure that someone already has it, and it's worth millions of dollars. or $1.50, one of the two. No, it's seanramblings.blogspot.com. So
right.
Still, I think before Google even bought it, it was Blogspot or Blogger.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never changed it.
That's so funny.
I've never changed it. So.
Wow.
And if you're an expat that listens to the podcast, the Friends in Oklahoma, Friends in Alaska, you got to go to Sean's Ramblings because it gives you that Virginia taste of Pittsburgh. So you could tell. How long ago did we lose you on free on waivers to Virginia, Sean?
It's been a while. I mean, I was there. I graduated high school and went away for college, and it really, I went to grad school, and so my parents were still there, and I still came back. But it wasn't really. It was 2001. I moved to Northern Virginia, thinking, you know, I was with my girlfriend, who's not my wife at the time, and we were like, well, she's from Pittsburgh too. We both got jobs here, and figured, well, we'll be here for a few years, and maybe we'll move to Pittsburgh, maybe we'll go somewhere else. And now we've made friends here. We got married. We've made friends here. Bought a house. I now have kids, and it's like, well, I don't think we're going anywhere. So 2001 is really when we left for good.
And I don't know, since you guys obviously have a past and I don't, I'm the newbie here, what parts of Pittsburgh are you both from?
So I'm from Churchill, Forest Hills area. So I'm a Woodland Hills High School graduate. And my wife is from Upper St. Clair.
Oh.
Wait a minute. That's not a match made in Pittsburgh. Yeah,
no.
That's like geographically undesirable at this, you know, when you're in
but
Pittsburgh.
Did you meet in college? Is that what it was?
No. Actually, my brother and my wife's brother were friends. They met each other on a trip and became friends. And so I was at grad school at Ohio State, and his girlfriend at the time thought it'd be kind of fun to set us up, even though I was in Columbus at the time and she was in Charlotte. And so we did a long distance thing. We met up in Pittsburgh during, you know, Thanksgiving or holidays. And then we just moved in together in Virginia.
Dude,
outside D.C.
You've broken all the rules. Going through the Fort Pitt.
Yes,
going through the Squirrel Tunnel.
We definitely did.
Oh, my God. That's like literally impossible to accomplish here in Pittsburgh. That's so funny.
Oh, it was a little weird having both our parents helping us in, and they're making our bed. It's like, that's putting the bed together. That was kind of weird.
See, the things you find out just by asking where you're from.
Sean, what is the oddest thing?
But it's worked out well.
That's
what is
awesome.
The oddest thing you think you've blogged about so far in your years?
Ooh, oddest thing. I was going to try to avoid saying this because I know you guys have a competition, but that's a good question.
Sean, let me tell you something.
Sean, you're my favorite.
The interview before you, every question was a good one, and they were all mine. I'm writing these, brother.
So go ahead and answer good question. That good question.
Yeah, honest thing might be more of my kids' stories. My middle son, who I give them kind of fake names for reasons. My middle son, we call Pedro 2-0 on my blog because I was into fantasy baseball at the time, and so his name for Pedro Alvarez, or Pirate, excuse me.
Okay.
And another player. So just kind of his experiences, mostly with he burned his fingers and had to go to the emergency room for that. He broke his arm as well, but the bigger one was he opened a glow stick and decided to taste the inside of a glow stick.
Okay. Well, and I was telling John before you got on that I read, I saw your mention about the O, which, you know, guilty secret, I was never a fan. I'm not a big Primanti's fan. You know, John keeps saying I'm killing our opportunities to work with them.
These comments get edited out.
Yeah, they don't.
She doesn't even know.
The O, you know, that was the place that you went when you had too much to drink. And I'm not a hot dog person, and I don't love junk food. Not to say I'm some health nut, but it's just never been my thing.
So where do you go, Rach, when you have too much to drink?
I mean, I've gone to Primanti's, but like, a garden burger at Eaton Park.
What?
Yeah.
Sean, who the hell says that?
Yeah. I don't know that. Anyway, but I love the fact I could completely relate to you when you were talking about the fact that you were mentioning the boy on the street who took the scooter and, you know, you don't quite live on a cul-de-sac and I love it because that's so non-traditional, right? Same here. I live on a dead end street. It's not a cul-de-sac. We've all dealt with those kinds of quote unquote neighbor kids. And I also love the fact that I can picture you like me. I'm falling asleep on my recliner chair with my laptop on my lap or on my chest or wherever the heck it falls because there's no limit of time. You said you work from like 9:30 to 7:30 and you're trying to deal with, you know, the kids and what's going on. That has to be a challenge, but it's so relatable right now.
Well, that's the thing. Even before we've kind of been locked in here, that'd be my routine. Is I, you know, work, get up early, get the kids to school, get to work, come home, work, you know, play with the kids, make sure that, you know, they get them ready for bed. And then it's like, okay, I want to sit down on the couch, even after, you know, doing laundry or dishwasher and all that. Like, I finally want to sit down on the couch, look at, you know, go online, watch TV, start blogging, and immediately fall asleep. And then wake up a couple hours later, I'm like, oh, maybe I'll watch something, or maybe I'll do a blog post or something.
Sure.
So that happens regularly. But yeah, the balance is tough, and the post, I don't know if it's worth it or not, but just the jerk neighborhood kid, he's still around. So haven't seen him since the internet, where he basically got a little bit too close to our kids when we don't want them to be close.
Wait
till that kid grows up and has, and wouldn't it be crazy if your son, your kids and that kid became best friends in high school? You know how odd, how kids work out, you know, somewhere along the way, and they go, my dad wrote a blog about you years ago.
Or so, figures it out.
Yeah, right. It's funny.
What's funny is, a little bit of a tangent is, there's a series of kids' books, and I wrote to them, this company, I don't know, 8-10 years ago, saying, you need to do a Goodnight Pittsburgh book. I just added the company. And then they did one, and I said, wait a minute, you need to give me credit for this. I gave you the idea. And they ended up being very nice about it, sent me some books. But it turned out that the author of one of the books, not the one that wrote to me, moved in next door, just completely random. I never told him that, the story. I may, now that they just moved out. But I may have to tell him. Oh, by the way, I kind of trash talked with your company a little bit.
That's crazy.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was just about to ask you, what's the oddest connection you've made in a Pittsburgher sort of sense, you know, through your blog? But that, you answered the question right there. That's crazy. Oh, my God.
That's crazy.
Wow. That was one. Mostly it's been it's not what it was, but there was a really strong personal, individual Pittsburgh sports blog community, specifically Pirates sites and Steelers sites. And there's been some, there's one guy in general, Ron, who it turns out grew up a couple streets over from me. He was a few years older, but he lives in D.C. now, and we met up for a Steelers game a couple years ago. And
that's so crazy.
So that's kind of neat.
Yeah, that's
our
crazy.
Our moms knew each other. Yeah.
That's crazy.
A little bit first stuff. Right. Our moms knew each other. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you know, John always says I grew up on an island because my husband, our parents were best friends. I called his mom and dad, aunt and uncle at some point, and now they're mom and dad 20 years later. So, yeah, somehow there was that weird, we're really not related kind of, by the way. So thank goodness for having three children and breaking laws, right? Mm. Anyway, I am so happy that we finally got to chat with you, even if it is, you know, by phone and not in person. But like John said, we will certainly change that when you bring us to Virginia so that we could have a little weekend getaway.
be happy to do that. But the only problem is you have to be around with three kids. So
listen.
We're used to it.
We're all good with that. Yeah.
We're used to it, Sean. And we obviously know where to find you, but mention again, where can people follow the blog?
Sure. The blog is seanramblings.blogspot.com. I would just go type Sean's Ramblings on Google and that'll help you.
Awesome.
But I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Sean's Ramblings for any of those. And I'm around.
All right.
And
now,
if you're listening to the podcast and you go check it out, make a comment on one of the posts and say you heard it on you, Jagoff. That'd be awesome.
For sure.
Definitely.
I'd love to mention that.
Definitely.
Because you get a 10% discount on something. I don't know what, but we'll make something up.
John, are you asking the question of the day?
You do it, Rach. Do it.
All right. Question of the day is a little different, Sean, and I love that you're familiar enough with the podcast. So we're trying to create a little one-liner Mad Lib. So give us a name or noun, an activity, and a destination. So the noun is a person's name. It could be anybody. An activity and a destination. Are you ready?
All right, let's do it.
All right. Name?
And just to be fair, that's a good question.
Yes!
All right, we're not friends anymore.
Even it out.
I'm unfriending you on Facebook.
All right, Sean, hit me with a name.
Myron.
Okay. I love it.
And an activity.
Shopping.
Okay. And a destination.
Let's go Breezewood.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
This is a partway, always a partway stop when I drive back home.
I love it.
That is true. I think that's for everything.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so.
It is, yeah.
Here is your Mad Lib, Sean.
Myron is my quarantine hero. While shopping, I think about being in Breezewood. That is my quarantine hashtag Mad Lib. Boom. You're boring, Sean. You could do better than that. I love it. Listen, we can't thank you enough for being such a supporter of ours. We can't wait until we can see you in person and stay healthy and be in touch.
That'd be great. Yeah, thank you very much, guys.
So who we have on is Mike Holden from WPXI, you're right, I do fanboy.
You chased him. I'm worried about how this is going to go because you were like every week, ask Colin Parrish, every week at our team meeting, you're like, and Mike Holden answered me, but he's
But
busy.
Listen, Mike, we do have a bromance. We have a bond. You know why? Because the day that they opened up the Steelers ride at Kennywood, you and I were there, and Rachel bailed on us. She bailed on me, which means she was not there because she was afraid, Mike. She was afraid to go on the roller coaster.
I know, she left you hanging.
Right.
What kind of teammate is that?
Please.
So that's
how this
interview starts. I am so
tired of having my back hurt
exactly.
from carrying him, and because one ride I didn't attend, but you were there. That's all that mattered. Mike, welcome.
I mean, we can let it slide. For
right? Welcome to the Ajaga podcast, because seriously, John is like, it's the sun's shining. I have to be dramatic. The sun is shining, and he is talking to Mike Holden. He is so happy right now.
Right. The only better
Do
is-
you guys know this is the perfect day, though?
Oh,
do you
why?
Know why I'm saying that?
No, why?
I know we're taping this, but April 25th, Miss Congeniality. Do you remember the quote?
No, but that's one of John's.
You're killing me.
Wait, that's one of my favorite movies too, and I don't know the quote.
Okay, so like they asked that one girl, describe your perfect date, and she says, that's a tough one. I'd have to say April 25th because it's not too hot, it's not too cold, and all you need is a light jacket. Because I came prepared for this moment. I thought that was really funny.
You are good.
You are good. Here's a tidbit. Here's a fun fact about John. He doesn't watch a lot of movies, including has never seen, like The Goodfellas. He's not seen the trilogy known as The Godfather that maybe a couple people may have heard. However, he knows Miss Congeniality because he loves Sandra Bullock. So,
there you go.
I'm shocked he didn't know.
Sandra Bullock coming out of that hangar is by far
that's your favorite
his thing.
Movie.
That's his thing. That's his thing.
Anyways.
Yeah. So, Mike Holden, here's the spiel, right? We did a little research on you, and the funniest thing, and I will admit this, was when I started to Google you to really get,
do I find anything?
Don't be nervous. But, you know, I found out that you had these Erie and Toledo ties, which is super cool because you kind of kept it close to Pittsburgh. John was in Toledo for a long time. We both have Erie ties. Love the fact that you did that. Love the fact that you're known for being this investigative reporter. But the first thing that comes up is, how old is Mike Holden? Did you know that?
Okay, someone else told me this the other day, and I'm like, what? Like, do I look like a child?
You don't look like a child, but let me tell you, you have phenomenal skin. Like, I was like, listen, when I saw how old you were, I was like, no, I was going 29, 30, brother.
I just turned 30. Like, full disclosure, just turned 30 in January. And, I mean, it's absurd. I guess it's good genes at this point. But, like, I had someone come up to me and they're like, what do you do to your skin? I'm like, drink water? I don't know. Like, nothing crazy.
Well,
my mom just turned 65, too, and, like, she looks exactly like me.
Yes, she does. I saw that, too, not to be creepy. But yeah. And I stand corrected. I could not believe it. I was like, maybe 29, not 30. But I was thinking literally mid-20s. Like, you look fantastic.
I'm but
serious.
You know what?
I don't know. Things can really hit the fan in the next couple of months. So,
they won't.
We'll savor this moment. But
this comes from someone who has like perfect skin. Most women hate her because of her skin and her fingernails.
True.
She gets neither of them done, and they're like perfect.
Well,
and
thanks. I'll tell you about my routine later when we're off schedule.
Yeah, we'll keep it on the DL for now.
Right. It's cucumber Pepsi. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
It's called Tito's.
So, a woman after my own heart.
There you go.
All right. So Erie, Toledo, and somehow you come south to Pittsburgh to get out of the crappy weather, right? But so you're in Pittsburgh now, and one of my biggest questions is you know, we know how radio personalities, TV personalities, news people, they've all had to adapt to this life of social media, right? Because in the old days, you know, it was, you know, the news anchor was on the news. You didn't really know what they do. They may have had a few drinks, and then they come back and deliver the news again. But we didn't know them. Now, your life is an open book as you are on Instagram. How is that? Do you enjoy that?
You know, it's so interesting because I've been doing this now for a decade, and you just get to a point where it can become a very monotonous situation of you're posting links to stories that you're covering, and at a certain point you say to yourself, like, do people still care? There's a lot of other distractions right now, because not only are we competing with network affiliates and local news, and then the big guys too. So like, you're trying to stand out in this very crowded space. And I just got to this point where I was like, I'll just be an open book. I don't care. You know, like, what you do is what I do. Let's have fun. Obviously you have to maintain a certain level of professionalism based on what you're covering. But in real life, I just, you know, I am who I am. If I see you on the street, you know, pre this entire situation that we're dealing with now, like, I'll give you a hug and like high five, because it's just, that's who I am. I do the same thing as everybody. I mean, it's really not any different than your normal day to day and my normal day to day. I just wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and put on 20 pounds of makeup and then stand in front of the camera for a couple of hours. So
John does that too. You know, it's just a little bit later. You know,
I just don't have any place to go after I put the makeup on.
Yeah.
Right. What happens behind closed doors does not judge your life.
Right. Okay. Right. That's
I fully support your journey.
Right.
So, yeah.
But you truly.
I love the way you roll with it.
Thank you.
But you truly exude that. And that's exactly the perception that we get when watching. You know, everybody has a routine of watching different people. You know, for instance, Aaron Martin is one of our favorites. We adore him from PXI.
He's so nice.
Such a good dude. And you've sort of become that kind of person, that younger breath of fresh air that people want to see, because you're embracing news in a way that makes it relatable, because it's not an easy job, right? I mean, you were described, you're described as the person who loves being the first one on the scene. How does that instinct even start?
Oh my gosh, good question. I think it's kind of like an adrenaline rush situation. There's a level of excitement to being there and being in the midst of all of this happening. And just personality by nature, I've never been the type of person who just kind of casually sits at a desk. I have, as I've described for multiple years, the worst case of undiagnosed ADHD. So I'm just constantly running around in circles, and I can't do it. I can't sit still. So I think being out there in the field and being able to provide, one, the information, and then two, we had a prior news director who said, make it about an active, evolving live experience. And I kind of like took that to heart, in the sense that I know you guys are at home. It can be the most mundane, boring, whatever it is. And I will say, okay, like, I can make this interesting, or I can find like a nugget of information to make this matter to you. So I've kind of built my entire career around, one, making it interesting, and two, just kind of having fun with it. And I think a lot of times people get lost in that. That's why some people are like, oh my God, I'm so bored by the news. It's such a downer. So I've kind of made that my mission to make it an experience that you can kind of enjoy, even if it's kind of mundane sometimes.
But you have.
You know, it's not always
but
easy.
You really have, because that is
true. You
guys,
my ego, these compliments.
Listen, my ego is bruised at this point, because you may not have, I know you listen to the podcast every week while you're working.
Right, every week.
You never miss a week. But you probably know that we have a contest that says that, when we ask questions and someone says, "Wow, Rachel, great question," or "John," we keep score of that. So you already gave.
We're a little bit competitive. But so. Mike, I often remind him because, you know, I like to throw things in his face that I was a reporter for the Tribune Review. And so I remember what it was like to be a reporter. Psych, all I did was fashion. And so I love the intrigue of people who covered real news like you, you know, and I often, you know, found myself thinking, how do people cover breaking news stories? That's scary stuff. And you hit the nail on the head to say you truly do make it about the nature of that time. And that's so important, right. You know.
And, you know, so here's my thing is that this is Scott Harbaugh. You know, we've had him on a couple of times and I love I love when he fights back when people fight with him about being canceled on, you know, the weather. You suck at the weather.
Yeah.
So here's my question for you is that when people tweet you or whatever are complaining, are they typically complaining about how you delivered news or about your suit or your suit sucks or your hair sucks?
Don't tell me bad things because I'm gonna be a mom and start like punching for you, bro.
You're gonna go after each of them. So here's the funniest thing. Okay, so I wanted to do my research so I didn't sound like an idiot before I came on here, and I listened to the podcast with Harbaugh last week, and I was like, okay, I can basically talk about whatever now. But so after listening to Scott's podcast, and then I looked at his Twitter, and I'm scrolling through, and someone said like the most absurd thing to him. They said something along the lines of like, "You're the worst meteorologist in the world."
Right.
And he liked the tweet, and he said like, "Thank you so much. That's such an honor, considering you know there are roughly 80,000 meteorologists working across the United States on TV and off there. That's such an accomplishment." So, in dealing with the criticism, this is what I always do, and this is what I will never fight with people,
right?
Because I think a lot of the times they want you to fight with them so they can screenshot it and share it or whatever.
Yeah.
So this is what I do. I like their tweet. And then I'll follow them. And then I'll go through to really scare them and like multiple tweets because like, Jesus, this guy's crazy. He's really going after my life now.
Are you John Chamberlain?
What I'm doing is acknowledging that I see your stuff. That's fine. And if it's really nasty, I'll just like it and then not do anything else. But if it's like kind of funny, I'll like it, agree with it, and then just like hit them with something else that's like complimentary. Because sometimes people who really want to fight with you, they one, don't think you'll actually respond to them. And two, if you're nice back, they're like, wow, you're really not as bad as
that's so, such a good know, point. That's great.
It's a unique landscape. And I always say, I'm like, what? Like, I often wonder, I'm like, would these people come up to me and like say this crazy, crazy stuff?
Sure.
And the vast majority wouldn't. So I just think like people are bored. And like, I always say this too. If you're going to write something nasty, at least you took the time out to find my information, look me up, and it registered to you who I am, because that means they're watching. And
that's right.
Yeah.
You know,
silver lining, Mike.
As a viewer, thank you for watching. And I always thank them for watching.
That's awesome. That's clever. And that's a lesson learned, right, at a young age, for sure. Well, we also dug up a little bit that maybe one of your, I don't know what word I want to use, John, but like secret train wreck. Right?
Yeah.
His like secret passion is like, you love reality TV like me. Listen, John, John thinks it's hysterical that I know certain tidbits like about the Kardashians. He's like, you are a smart person. What the hell? I can't help it. It makes you like, I have to do this because it kills your brain cells, but it's something
absolutely.
You have to do. So I have a quick couple questions. Okay.
Hit me. I've been waiting for this moment.
All right. I'll do the train wreck stuff and John can rapid fire you. So
yes.
Are you going to go with Snooki or JWoww?
Snooki, I would say, because she's just, I don't even have a clever response to this.
Okay.
I appreciate her lifestyle. I appreciate how ratchet everything was. Depending on the case-by-case situation, she can still bring it out. And she's also matured and has her kids. But even after having the kids, she's still the same. I love it. I support it.
And I love that you answer it like a real question. Like,
well, so legitimate. If you think back to, like, think about this. She got, like, punched in the back of the head or
she
in
did.
The face that first season.
She did.
And, like, after that, America fell in love with her.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
If
like,
it makes
I mean,
you
what a
feel,
career journey.
Right. And if it makes you feel any better, I'm Team Snooki, too, because, side note,
thank
John
you.
And I met JWoww, and she's not nice.
Josh, wait, it was creepy.
Tell me.
Yeah, we well, we do the David Allen Fashion Show every year, and this year it was on, this past year was on Mount Washington, and she was one of the featured people. And
she was there.
She was there with her kid, and they're like, "I'm
her
sorry,
her kid did it. Her
I'm sorry, they have we have to go get him a pizza."
No?
What's that?
Say it again.
I said, was Roger there, the estranged? Isn't she, is she still with Roger? I can't remember.
Well, there was a guy, there was a guy there and a protector. So yeah, I don't know, but yeah, she was like, it was like 9 o'clock. We're like, hey, can we have 2 minutes to talk to you? Well, not really, cause he wants a pizza. Then she was talking about her son.
Yeah, yeah, it was a little crazy.
Wow.
Now
I'm kind of envious of that experience.
Oh, don't.
Well, don't be. You know,
remarkable.
It's one of those things where you think you're going to meet a hero, and then you find him in the corner smoking with it. But you know, that kind of thing.
Was she smoking?
No. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, your favorite sports hero. You know, that kind of. Yeah.
Oh,
it would have been actually because I don't. I typically fake smoke a lot, and I would have actually lit up a fake smoke with her and chatted with her
just to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have done
now,
that.
Did you watch Tiger King?
Thank you for asking. Of course, I lost 7 hours of my life 2 Saturdays ago. I initially was not on board. I was like, what am I watching? I got no attention span. And then I jumped back in and I couldn't stop. And now I've listened to 6 podcasts about everyone on the show. Favorite character. Thank you for asking. Saf, naturally. And the never-ending commitment to protecting the tigers.
Did Carol feed it? Did Carol feed her husband?
Okay. If you listen, I thought about this. I was even going to do a selfie video, but like, I'm legitimately afraid of Carol that I think she's
sweet
because she has so much money.
Yes.
So,
listen,
yeah.
This is how our conversation went. My mom, I just called my mom last night to check in, and she said, I said, what are you guys doing? She said, well, thanks to you, your father is watching The Tiger King. She said, I hate this effing show so much.
Like, there are so many layers to it, though, that I just have questions about.
Right. Yeah.
Like, okay, the meat truck from Walmart.
Right.
All of the bad meat. So were they using that meat to then make the Tiger King pizzas that they were selling at the park?
Yes, right? I think that's what I said.
Yeah,
yes.
I think so.
Exactly. That, on top of that, too, I have questions about the multiple wives from the girl who escaped. What was his name? Don't tell me. What is his name? Doc.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I am fascinated.
Yes.
I want to know everything.
Yes.
And then the guy who now has the nanny and the wife that just had the baby.
Yeah.
Like, I need another season. I need a reality show spinoff.
Conclusion.
Yeah.
Does this mean that if there becomes an open position for investigative reporter in that area, you're leaving Pittsburgh to go get that assignment?
Yeah, absolutely. No questions asked. Do you want me to go tomorrow?
Oh my god! And I have to know: is there a reality show that you will not watch?
Okay, let me think about that for a moment because this is the hardest question you guys have asked today.
I know, right?
Listen, the bar is so low, and when I say so low, did you ever watch The Bad Girls Club when it was on TV? It was like the war show.
Yes.
It was horrible.
I know what it is. Yes, yes.
They would just fight for no reason.
Yep.
A lot of the career opportunities were questionable, but it was great TV. This reality show that I won't watch. I don't know. Throw one out there for me, and then I'll springboard off of it. I'm having a moment.
Any of, like, The Housewives? Like, do you like
Okay,
them?
You know what? I got you.
Yeah.
The Bachelor is so overrated.
Yeah.
Agree.
And I do not understand the appeal and the hype, but it comes back every single year, and now they have all of the spinoff shows, like the one where they sing now and perform for the people who aren't even, you know, legitimate singers who are judging them.
Right.
It's called, like, Listen to Your Heart or something. I haven't watched it yet.
Yes, I know what you mean, but I don't know what it's called. Yeah.
I can't get into it.
No.
But I used to love Flavor of Love and Rock of Love and Rock of Love Bus.
Do you know what Flavor of Love is?
Yeah, I do.
It's
Flavor
Flav.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So, you know.
I love this about you. I am going to let John do the real rapid fires because we have this connection now with our
Thank you.
Sappy, so.
We just lost 8 minutes of the show.
No, this is podcasting gold right here. Just so you know, this is a fact, is that for the second time, we are finalists for a golden quill. And we have
congratulations.
Thank you. And I guarantee you, we are submitting this particular interview. But all right. So let's talk about how well do you know or care for Pittsburgh at this point, right? So we know you're passionate about it. So here we go. What's your worst route, McKnight Road or 51? Or 28. You could go Midnight Road, 51, or 28.
I would say McKnight Road. I was so nervous I even slurred McKnight. I would say McKnight Road, but only on a seasonal basis. And hear me out, because I wake up so early in the morning.
Good point.
I'm literally up by 2:50 a.m., and I can dodge the traffic because who is up at 2:50 in the
morning? Right.
Thank you. Exactly. I see the same two police officers parked in various parking lots each morning. But McKnight Road, strictly based off of the traffic that happens from the month of October through the month of February. Like, for some reason, shopping season now starts in October. And it's horrible, strictly based off of Ross Park Mall.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm just as guilty because I sit in it every day. And you know, prior to this, was going shopping and, you know, doing irrelevant things. So, yes, I will go with McKnight.
All right. And so what is the one thing that you know Pittsburgh's love that you just have not been able to adopt?
Man, you know, in all the places that I've lived, it's been very similar, and don't hold this against me. I was born and raised in the suburbs of Cleveland. It pains me to say that publicly. I know. So, like, they're very similar. Like, we still have pierogies. We have a place in Cleveland that's called Panini's, which is a bootleg knockoff of Primanti.
Yeah.
What can I get on board with? I don't know. I mean, like, everything. I mean, initially when I moved there, I said the traffic was terrible. But now that I've been here for 4 years, I'm like, I can, again, do this in my sleep with no issue at all whatsoever.
Yeah.
I think maybe sometimes, like, the dead-end roads that lead to nowhere. The countless water main breaks that happen every single day for no reason.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty much it, because in all of the places that I live, it's all been kind of like central area where everything kind of overlaps. So I can't really – I can't have any hate for it other than the water main breaks.
All right, gotcha. And, all right, if you were forced to buy only one set of season tickets for a sports team here, professional or non-professional? Oh, thank you. But Rachel wrote it. Now, what sports team would it be?
I would say the Penguins, just because, and this is like another fun fact too, because people like hear this and they just start laughing. I played hockey for 14 years from age 4 to 18. My senior year of high school, I had this like crazy hip injury, and basically I got checked when I was like 14, fell on it. It was really weird. A bump formed between the ball and socket joint. It started wearing away the ball and socket joint. They had to dislocate my hip, put it back together with screws. I was like not able to walk for 3 months and was in a wheelchair. It's absurd. So that's why I say the Penguins, because I love hockey.
Mike, I need
fact.
To hurry up and turn 40 so you can get into my over 40 beer league.
No.
Hurry
I
up
know.
And turn 40.
I know. I'm Ross Godotti from KDK.
Yes. I love him.
Need to play. Berman, who used to work at TA, he's like, we have the dream team. I'm like, all right, I'm down. So,
listen, and Ross Godotti, we had him on not too long ago.
Like a month ago.
We had a chance to play in a celebrity hockey game years ago for EMS, and we all played against the famous Slapshot Hansen brothers, all three in a game.
No way.
It was a dream come true. It gave me goosebumps, yeah. So,
Were they cool?
Oh.
Am I asking too many questions?
No, 100%.
No, this is just, I'm fascinated.
Listen, if you're fascinated, one, yes, they're super cool. Two, one of them lives here and is awesome to talk about. And he wrote a book and he runs the ice rink down at Robert Morris. And I'll introduce you to him.
See, that is so cool.
He still wears the hair the same and the glasses. Or, you know, he has glasses. I mean, but he's a grandpap, and it's crazy to think they still get hired for things. Yeah, so I'll have to take you down there and introduce you to
That's
him.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
I feel like I just lost my relationship.
Last question
with
here. Last rapid fire, because that one wasn't really rapid fire. But
yeah.
Pierogies or potato patch fries?
Oh, my God. Come on. Listen. I don't want to say I turned my back on this situation, but I did briefly, and they bounced back. When they changed the cheese, it was an unforgivable moment that then
no
became
doubt.
A forgivable moment.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to go with pierogies. Lifelong, again, I'm Polish. Ride or die, hit them hard, extra butter, extra onion. Give me the potato, give me the cheese, don't give me the nasty. Have you ever had like, I had a pierogi that had cottage cheese in it.
No, don't do it. Don't do it.
Disgusting. Yes. Disgusting. So pierogis.
Wait, so then, ride or die. Dovetailing off of that, fried or boiled?
Fried.
Yeah.
Fried. Oh, see, I don't dig the fried part. Yeah.
Really?
Listen, we're going to go get pierogies, and okay. we're going to go go meet Dave Hansen. And we're going to bring Rachel with us.
Did you hear me before? Like, we had this thing going. And then,
I know.
And then fanboy John.
Did we just become best friends?
We did, so. But then tight. John just, like, elbowed me out and was like, Mike Holden's mine.
The one thing I want to note, though, is we are getting ready to close down the interview, and we have made it through an entire podcast without Rachel mentioning that she's on the school board in North Hills.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, my God.
Well, my kids make fun
Thank
of me
you.
For that.
You will now be my media contact.
Don't you worry. Don't you worry. Well, and I was going in a different direction when you were talking about hockey. I'm a mom of three, and my oldest will be 17 next Sunday. And
oh, my
he's
gosh. Happy birthday.
Yeah,
what's
right?
his name?
Roman.
Happy birthday, Roman.
Thank
Great name,
you,
too.
Right? And he also has the hockey flow. So, you know, it's not a mullet. It's a hockey lettuce flow.
Understandable.
And I, as a hockey mom, when I hear about the fact that you had this hip dislocation issue, it scares me. It's a scary, scary
I know,
thing.
I'm fine. It was like a freak accident. I had like four concussions, but other than that, I'm still fine.
So. Wow. Wow.
Well, hang on.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy. All right. So all before right. we let you go, where can everyone find you on Instagram? Twitter, Facebook, to know all things Mike Holden.
I mean,
where are they looking?
If they're stupid and haven't done it yet, how do they
you
find
guys
you?
Are so right. funny. I love this. I wish I could keep this going for 30 more minutes. Okay, so Facebook and Twitter, it is WPXI Mike Holden. And then on the gram, Instagram, it is just Mike Holden TV. Mike Got Holden it. TV. Hit me, DM me, like it. I'll follow you. I don't care. We can talk. We can get weird. I love it.
And it's Holden with E-N, correct?
That's right.
Yeah, H-O-L-D-E-N. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So we do a question of the day, which I'm sure you heard from listening to the Scott podcast. And typically it's the way that we weave in all of our guests. This time, we're going a little crazy. On our marketing team, we're trying to come up with these unique ways to celebrate quarantine. So we want to create the perfect hashtag Mad Lib for Mike Holden. So,
oh my gosh.
I know, right? So you need to give me three things. A name, so a noun, but a name, an activity, and a destination. And then I will give you the perfect Mad Lib quarantine.
Okay, a name. Can it be like a celebrity or anyone?
It could be anything, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go with Kate Gosselin.
We didn't talk about her. I hate that woman.
Okay. I know. Okay. That's like a whole other day.
Oh,
podcast.
God, it so is. If you
what
think
were the other two? I'm
if
so
you think you're not coming back on, you have another thought coming.
I know. We've been holding up for so long.
I know, right?
What were the other two?
Okay, activity.
Okay, activity. So we're going to say... jogging.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay.
Thank you.
And then a destination. Anything. Could be a place in Pittsburgh or a city. It could be anything.
You don't think he knows where the destination is?
Sure. I'm going to go with Ross Park Mall again to stick with the trend here.
I like it.
Okay. All right. Kate Gosselin is my quarantine hero. While jogging, I think about
Can
being...
Can I take back my response?
No! While jogging, I think about being at Ross Park Mall. That is my quarantine Mad Lib.
I am never leaving my house again after hearing that.
Oh, Mike. You might go down as my favorite. I'm telling you, this was fabulous.
You
thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah.
Thank you. It was such an honor. I appreciate it. Anytime now that we have the full go ahead. I love it. I love you guys. You guys are the absolute best. I had so much fun.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is like breaking the seal when you're drinking, right? And you go to the restaurant.
So, I've never had anyone compare it to that, but yes, I get it.
That's what it is. So now when we go out and we do our porch tours this summer,
which is where
we go to people's houses and record, we're taking you on one of those.
Our socially distanced porch tours.
Yeah. Yes. No doubt. Yes. About it, so. Got it. Mike Holden, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Have a good rest of the quarantine in Pittsburgh.
Thank you. You too. Be safe, guys.
Listen, you always let me kick off the whole musician part. I think it's just you succumbing to the fact that I know this.
Give credit to where credit is due. these last three musicians have just been, I mean, they're all good, but they're all in this really upbeat, which is everything we need at this point.
Yeah.
You know, as far as we're coming to the end of this pandemic thing.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And I think they're all itching to get out and kind of master their craft more. So, you know, without further ado, how exciting. Finally, after I think a year, we've tracked down the hardworking Whelming Waters.
Did you hire the FBI to get them in?
I did. We have Colin. And Colin, we could easily start talking about the band, but you've had so many changes that we feel like you need to catch us up.
Because the last time you were with us was at the History Center, right? We had put out a pitch for anybody who has a song about whiskey.
Yeah.
And you guys are like,
and it was
we're
you.
In.
Yeah. yeah. And then on top of it, you were good. So I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
So tell us about what's been going on since literally, I think it was January or February of last year.
I think you're right. It's been a long time. And it's been a heck of a year for us as well. We've, basically just been recording like crazy in the studio and just trying to coordinate all the stuff for the album.
What is your sort of process like for recording?
Well, especially when you're an independent band, you definitely have all the songs written and basically arranged prior to.
Sure.
I wish we could go into a studio, you know, like professional bands and kind of play around, but we basically had to have everything ready to go.
Sure. Time is money, right?
Exactly. Especially in, you know, in a business like this.
Your harmonizing is really tight. Is that something that comes pretty natural to you guys? Or no, that's weeks and weeks to get that on, you know, all together?
We're pretty lucky because, well, you know, as you know, a lot of the harmonizing is Kelsey, who's my sister. So we've been singing, not necessarily together for years, but you know, we both sang for years and we've heard each other singing. And not to mention, you know, we were both in chorus and things like that. I was in a, you know, a barbershop quartet in high school. So we just kind of had an ear for harmonies. And, honestly, I'll sit down with Kelsey. I'll sing the melody for her and she generally just makes it up on the spot. And we refine it as we go if something's working better. But yeah, we're very lucky. It comes pretty naturally to us.
And you have a new addition. Is that correct?
We do. Yeah. We've been kind of, I guess, rotating members a little, but we've just like steadily been growing in members. Our newest addition, her name is Kristen Beard. She is in another band called The Moment. It plays around Pittsburgh. They're kind of a modern jazz type, band and a great improvisation and really great people. And, we needed a full-time, keys player, and we've known Kristen for a while. And, she just joined up a few months ago and she's doing great. And, maybe listen in for some additional harmonies in the future because she's a great singer as well.
That's awesome. Especially whenever you can gel someone else in, you know, that kind of makes sense. So were you on track for when this was coming out, or did the quarantine kind of, you know, throw you a little curveball?
Was that a recording pun?
Did.
Was that good?
Was that a recording pun? Like, were you on track?
No, were you on track?
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm good.
Oh, no, music puns.
Dork.
It definitely, before this all happened, we decided on a release date. And, you know, we are announcing that today, like I said, on social media. June 6th, the album is coming out. The only thing it kind of threw us a curveball on, really, was we were going to have a big album release show at the Lamb Theater in Irwin. To my knowledge right now, that's not happening.
Sure.
We're kind of working, just rolling with the punches and seeing what's happening with that. We're hoping to maybe reschedule and have a big blowout album release show. But for now, it's just going to be released.
I totally understand.
Listen, if you had your ultimate concert, what three musicians or singers would you invite to jam with you guys?
Oh, wow. That's a great question.
He can't take credit for it because I wrote
personally,
it.
Personally, I'm a huge fan of the Decemberists. So kind of we draw some influence from them.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a folk rock band. I think Colin Malloy, the lead singer. Another Colin.
There
Colin.
You go.
Yeah, you're just trying to build up Colin's. If you hire Colin Parrish, if you hire Colin Parrish to sing bass, we're going to be so mad at this point.
To sing bass, yeah.
You know, I would shout out our sax player, Jeremy, who, you know, is also like our art director.
Okay.
Well, first of all, he's my brother-in-law. He's mm-hmm. resident as well.
Okay.
He's Kelsey's husband. But I know for a fact he'd want Dave Cause to jam with us, a saxophone player who he loves.
Okay.
Good one.
So that's another one. I'm sure of that. And, you know, if we're going posthumous, David Bowie.
Oh,
you said anybody?
Yeah, I did. We did. We did.
Changes.
Yeah, that's a good man. That's a good concept.
That came out of nowhere.
Yeah, for sure. Give us a little glimpse of like what's on the horizon for you guys, other than these great upbeat songs.
Well, as far as you know, songwriting everything, this album is finally done, and as you know, a songwriter, it's great when it's finally released and you can kind of move on. So, the stuff I've been writing that I think we're going to move into is a little more, rock influenced. And we've always been rock influenced, but we do have a lot of country and folk, and it's nice to have that sort of dichotomy, all those different styles. But I think what you can expect in the future is a little more of a cohesive, sound that is also kind of indicative of us, you know, particularly, we're kind of learning how to mesh all those sounds together into something that is different, but maybe a little more hard-hitting, but still a lot of fun, I hope.
Sure.
The hardest part about being a band today, despite the quarantine,
Yeah, you can't, say quarantine. That's easy.
Answer, yeah.
Getting noticed because, and it's a good thing, too, but there's so many bands. I don't know that it used to be like that. I think it was sort of I don't think everybody, you know, played an instrument back in the day, and it was sort of back in the 70s and things like that. It was kind of easy because if you got a record deal, you were a band. It was kind of like that. Nowadays, it's all about independent bands, and you know, everybody and their brother is in a band. But not that that's a bad thing. It's great. Everybody gets to express themselves, and there's so many avenues that bands can go through that don't involve like these big record labels and things. You know, you can really kind of push forward on your own. But it is hard to kind of, you know, get noticed in a crowd. So.
And before we get to our infamous question of the day, the other question we had was, what is your key element that gets you noticed? What's that thing that you could say to someone, you got to hear us because?
Being on the Jackoff podcast.
That's a great question.
Thanks. They're all mine.
I think that we have a pretty distinctive sound, and what I like to tell everybody is we have something for everybody. You know, you're not just going to listen to our album and just hear, you know, straight, regular, normal rock songs every tune. You know, there's 12 songs, and there's a lot of different influences in there, so there is a great chance that anybody who listens to the album is going to find at least one song that they enjoy.
Right.
And that wasn't necessarily our goal. It's just we didn't want any restrictions with songwriting or anything. I like to write a lot of different stuff. So we just said, let's put it out there. You know, it doesn't have to be this, you know, sort of concept album of all the songs have to mesh perfectly. So I think there's something for everybody. That's our strong point.
Well, kudos to you guys because you're certainly doing it. And it took us a whole year to stay on your trail and keep you guys in our radar because we wanted to bring you back. So,
your new album comes out when?
It comes out June 6th. And the album is called Bon Voyage.
Right. And that's around when we were supposed to be at the Arts Festival. So you have no Arts Festival to go to. So no excuse not to download this album.
That's exactly right. You need to do this. You'll be in your house and you have to do
it. Stand out in the rain and download that thing. Because it always
rains. And we will certainly do our part to let everybody know just the great vibe that you guys bring. So thanks again for coming on, Colin.
Thank you so much.
And before we ask you the question of the day, where can everybody find you on the internet, on social media? Where are they following Whelming Waters?
Well, feel free to follow us. We're, of course, on Facebook. We're on Instagram, no Twitter as of yet. We're not really good at Twitter, but as far as buying the album or finding our music, you can find our music on Bandcamp, iTunes, Spotify, all the good stuff. You know, we're basically everywhere. You can pre-order the album right now on Bandcamp, iTunes, and Amazon Music. We're still working on Spotify and a few of the other ones. It takes time.
Awesome.
But they will be on there.
They will be. I have no doubt. So you need to give us just a name, which basically could be a noun, but particularly someone's name, an activity, and a destination.
A name. Liberace.
Oh. Whoa.
Okay.
All right. Activity.
playing badminton.
That's a good one. You like to play these games. All right. Destination.
Multnomah Falls, Wisconsin.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Dude, I want him on my Mad Libs team, to be honest with you.
Right? TBH. Yeah. All right. So, Liberace is my quarantine hero. While playing badminton, I think about being in Multnomah Falls, Wisconsin. That is my quarantine hashtag Mad Lib.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Do you love it? I mean, I like it. Does it get any better than that?
It really worked out well.
Thank you. I thought so too. Yeah. Listen, Colin, we're so happy we finally connected. Keep doing what you're doing. We can't wait to hear the album.
Thank you guys so much for having us on and for supporting us so much.
So does it get any better? I don't know. I don't know that it gets any better. We keep coming up with these clever titles because we are so fortunate during the quarantine to have trapped people into talking to us.
Yeah.
But the caliber and talent is just, these podcasts are going to become 2 hours long because we can't edit them.
Right? It's so amazing. And I'm telling you, Mike Holden was generally just as I had it, probably actually even better than I anticipated.
Because you admit that you were fanboying. A little bit stalker.
No doubt about it.
A little bit.
Right. Right.
But, and, you know, thank you so much to Mike for coming on and being such a supporter. I love the fact that he listened to the Scott Harbaugh and know what he was in for, essentially.
Right.
And thanks to Sean Ramblings, again, such a supporter of the podcast. We've been so lucky because he listens, he shares, and he knew who had the good questions, that's for sure. And then our music guest, of course.
Yeah, and thanks to Colin again. You're going to love, don't forget that their new album comes out on June 6th, and we're with, you heard it here first.
Yeah, we're kicking off with a whole excitement.
All right.
And of course, we cannot go without saying thank you to our sponsors, Roark Honda. We are driving positivity through Roark Honda, and we're calling it hashtag driving positivity. So we urge you to tell us your positivity through this quarantine. Just go ahead and fake drive from anywhere and tell us your silver lining.
And the other positivity is online sales are at a full go for test driving, questioning, and purchasing. So just get on there and ask questions. Someone will be there. Continue to follow Roark Honda for all of your vehicle needs. Make sure you visit RoarickHonda.com.